In this module, you will learn how to write and run an Apex test method. You are now at the point where you will need to get the code ready for production. When code is ready to be moved from a sandbox or development environment to production, you will need to execute all of the unit tests that are currently in the org, plus any change set or deployment set before it can be deployed. Note, if the code coverage is found to be less than 75%, it will not let you deploy anything new. If any of the unit tests that are in the org or in your change set fail, the deployment will fail. The primary purpose of testing is to ensure everything will work as expected and to find unanticipated problems. Jason has been given the task of writing unit tests. His job is to confirm that the trigger, which will ensure course deliveries do not start on a holiday, is ready for deployment. This module will cover the following topics: describing Apex's testing framework, creating test data, and writing and running an Apex test. Let's begin with describing Apex's testing framework. Before you can deploy your code, the following must be true. At least 75% of your Apex code must be covered by unit tests, and all of those tests must complete successfully. When deploying Apex to a production organization, each unit test in your organization namespace is executed by default. Calls to system.debug are not counted as part of Apex code coverage. Test methods and test classes are not counted as part of Apex code coverage. While only 75% of your Apex code must be covered by tests, your focus shouldn't be on the percentage of code that is covered. Instead, you should make sure that every use case of your application is covered, including positive and negative cases, as well as bulk and single records. This should lead to 75% or more of your code being covered by unit tests. Every trigger must have some test coverage. All classes and triggers must compile successfully. To sum it up, 75% of our code must be covered in production. This is a Salesforce minimum. You should try to get your code as close as possible to 100%. This percentage is aggregated across all Apex code, including triggers and classes. Triggers need to have at least one test and have more than 0% code coverage. Classes should never have 0% coverage, and their total coverage needs to be as high as possible. Every unit test has to complete successfully in production. Test code versus business code. Functional tests versus unit tests. Apex includes a testing framework that allows developers to write, run, and analyze tests. This graphic describes testing framework workflow. First, some tests have been written. In this example, a test class and methods within that class are annotated with the @isTest annotation or test method keyword. Next, the tests are executed by selecting test new run from the platform. This is to inform the framework to execute the unit tests. The framework takes the test class and confirms those test methods in our test class. Apex statements in the unit tests are then run, whether those statements create new data or invoke methods from the runtime code. The whole point of the unit test is to simulate what would happen if a user were to interact with the system or how an automated process would react. The point is to simulate the execution of the runtime code, doing so in a manner where data values are provided or new data is created. Overall, testing should replicate what production will look like. Any line of code that gets executed gets code coverage. For example, we can call methods within runtime code, and if they complete successfully, it counts as a tested or covered line of code. In the end, Salesforce reports which lines of code were covered and those that were not, overall code coverage for the entire org, or code coverage percentage on a class-by-class basis. This helps you understand how your unit tests are operating.
Can you go back to the previous page and read that line?
Yeah.
And just say tests, and then we'll throw that in as a wild.
Sure. Next, the tests are executed by selecting test new run from the platform. To facilitate and promote the development of robust, error-free code, the platform requires the creation and execution of APEX test methods. APEX test methods are class methods that verify whether a particular piece of code is working properly. We know this is a test class because the class is annotated with @isTest. We know we have a test method because it will either have the test method keyword or the method will be annotated with @isTest. Now that you have an understanding of the APEX testing framework, let's move on to creating test data. We want to test a trigger that is going to determine if a course delivery starts on a holiday. If it does, we don't want that record to be saved. Otherwise, it can go through. The steps of unit testing include Step 1, create test data. Step 2, execute the test. And Step 3, validate the results. Please take a moment and provide answers to the test data questions posed here. What test data do you need in order to test both branches of this logic? If the first green box is changed to several new course deliveries are created programmatically, if the first green box is changed to a course delivery start date is updated programmatically. Answers. 1. Holiday data, course data, a good course delivery, and a bad course delivery. 2. Holiday data, course data, many course deliveries, some good and some bad. 3. Holiday data, course data, a good course delivery that gets updated in the test. The test framework does not have any data explicitly available to it, so it will need to be created. Using static resource is one way of creating test data for a test class and doesn't require writing many lines of code. Simply create a CSV file, which will have a top row of API field names. Each row will have corresponding data for an S object type. The CSV file is then uploaded as a static resource, which will be read by a method in the test class, test.loadData. This method references the name of the S object, holiday.sObjectType, and the second parameter will be the name of the static resource that contains the recently created CSV file. Why use a static resource for test data? 1. It's used to make a small amount of predictable data, especially related data. 2. It's used for robotic, automated testing so that predictable results can be tested. 3. It's easy to maintain without having to update test code. You are importing records from two separate objects using the test.loadData method in a test method, and would like to relate those records by populating the lookup field on the child object with the ID of the newly created parent test record. The challenge arises from the fact that the ID of the parent record will change every time it's loaded using this method. One method is to simply create a fake ID field on the parent object and a fake parent ID field on the child object. These fake ID fields will be pre-populated in your static resource data, so the records can always be related, irrespective of their ever-changing IDs, with every call of test.loadData. Through the process of loading, the relationships are created. Use test setup methods, methods that are annotated with @testSetup, to create test records once and then access them in any test method in the test class. Test setup methods are useful and can be time-saving when you need to create a common set of records that all test methods operate on or prerequisite data. Records created in a test setup method are rolled back at the end of test class execution. Test setup methods enable you to create common test data easily and efficiently. By setting up records once for the class, you don't need to recreate records for each test method. Also, because the rollback of records that are created during test setup happens at the end of the execution of the entire class, the number of records that are rolled back is reduced. As a result, system resources are used more efficiently compared to creating those records and having them rolled back for each test method. Therefore, test setup methods can reduce test execution times, especially when you're working with many records. If a test class contains a test setup method, the testing framework executes the test setup method first, before any test method in the class. Records that are created in a test setup method are available to all test methods in the test class and are rolled back at the end of the test class execution. If a test method changes those records, such as record field updates or record deletions, those changes are rolled back after each test method finishes execution. The next executing test method gets access to the original unmodified state of those records. Test data leaves no footprints. Changes made to the database by test methods and test setup methods are not permanent. DML statements are executed in tests. Rolled back occurs prior to each test method. During a test, SQL queries will find test data created during the test. Answer the following questions. 1. What number will the debug statement on line 8 print? 2. What number will the debug statement on line 14 print? 3. What number will the debug statement on line 18 print? 4. Outside of this test class, which of the inserted courses exist? Answers. 1. 1. 2. 2. 3. 1. 4. None. You can access your runtime database if you add the @isTest annotation and parameter see_all_data equals true. If you do this, it will open up your runtime database, and if you were to perform a query, you will get any live data available. Why do you think it's not a best practice to open up your runtime database? 1. You may not have all the data you need to test all the conditions you need to test. 2. Live data may be changing on the fly as you're testing. 3. You may not want to expose all your data to your tests for security reasons. 4. It may be illegal to do so, due to HIPAA laws, for example. When you should use it. 1. Testing certain objects require you to use see_all_data equals true, such as certain setup objects. 2. You inherit code that was tested using see_all_data equals true. It may be difficult to refactor the test code. Now that you have an understanding of creating test data, let's move on to writing and running an Apex test. Going back to our requirements, the next step is to validate that a course delivery does not start on a holiday. If it does, then we want to reject the record. When we construct our test, we must have the @isTest annotation on the class to indicate the code is a test class, and code contained within the 3 megabyte organizational limit. By using the @isTest annotation, it will prevent test code from counting against the 3 megabyte limit. Test classes should be private. You should never need to reference a class nor access its methods unless it contains a utility or factory methods. You do not want anyone except developers and the system running them. Because they may have access to all data in the org, exposing test classes and methods as public can be a security issue. Also, notice that test methods are static and annotated using test method or @isTest. A recommendation is to use _test as the suffix for the name of a test class. You are welcome to use any name you wish. Just select a standard naming convention for testing and use it consistently and universally. @isTest annotation prevents the test code from counting against the 3 megabyte limit. Recall that we have created test data and are running this test method to ensure that our code will not malfunction in a production environment. Our code is bulkified, meaning that it works for single records as well as bulk operations, and exceptions will be handled correctly. On line 4 of our example code, we have inserted 10 valid course records. We expect that, were this to occur in the production environment, this operation would result in 10 records being successfully inserted. How can we verify that our expectation is met? The platform provides a few methods that we can use to validate our results. In our example, we are using system.assert, which validates a condition as either true or false to ensure that 10 course records were in fact inserted. If the result of an assert is false, a fatal error is returned, meaning the test will fail and will provide no code coverage. There are many ways to run tests. The developer console is a good place to do it. It gives you a good amount of information about how your tests are going and what they are covering. When you execute a test in the developer console, we have a couple of ways to start testing, including test new run, run test, and always run asynchronously, which is helpful for providing test details. Here is a summary of what was covered in this module. Take a moment and read through the bullets for review.